Welcome to episode 131 of Comic Timing, the comics podcast voted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as Brent Cassina, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Levitsy, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. Sean Pryor and Marthaeus Wade return to the show for the first time since Super Show to talk Action Lab Comics. We also go into some latest Marvel news that's come out, as well as Free Comic Book Day in general, a little bit of DC, and a little bit of insanity, as always. Marthaeus Wade still has his Sunday. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 131 of Comic Timing. 131, nice symmetry there. I like that a lot. And also joined this episode by Brett Cassina. Oh, wait, no, he hasn't shown up yet, so I can't introduce that fucker yet. Instead, we've got two guests on this call. Two of my favorite people in the whole wide world joining us here on Comic Timing. Introducing first, he is the man with the plan, Mr. Barack O. Comics, Mr. Stan Leroy, Sean Pryor joining us here. Sean, what's up, man?
What's up, Ian? How you doing, man?
I'm doing just swell. It has become spring here yet again. We had no goddamn winter. I don't even care anymore.
Yeah, man, see, you missed all the fun in Kentucky because in the great city of Lexington, we went from cold weather in the span of 2 weeks, cold weather, mild weather, rain, torrential downpour, tornadoes everywhere. that literally destroyed cities. Oof. Oh, and by the way, here's 9 inches of snow. Then the next day, 65 degree temperatures, and now everybody's sick.
Oh, Christ on a bike, man. That's just awful. That's cold. That's cold. But did you survive at least? Did you survive the sickness?
Yeah, yes, I did. I've been taking my allergy shots. I'm feeling good. Life is beautiful. I have no complaints. I'm thankful. Got a roof over my head. Life is great.
Your life is a lot more beautiful than Bellini, though, because what the hell is he doing these days?
I don't know, man. You know, it's been a while since that dude got word.
Yeah, for real, for real. Also joining us this episode, Mr. Marthaeus Wade. Marthaeus, man.
What's up, man?
How you doing?
Man, I'm all right. Just busy working on like projects and commissions and all types of stuff, man. I didn't have. I'm with you though. We didn't have a winner either, so I'm good.
Okay, and the guy who thinks he's muted but isn't, Mr. Brent Cassina, joining us on the call now. We can hear your every word, Cassina.
I'm not muted.
No, you're not.
No, you ain't muted.
Man,
hope you didn't hear the. Are you recording already?
Yes, we're recording already because you don't know how to show up.
Of course, sorry. I hope you didn't hear the dirty things my wife was telling me.
No. We somehow missed that, but I wish I didn't.
Okay, good.
Talked all over Marthaeus's bit. Marthaeus was trying to tell this whole deal. And Brent's like, no, put the lotion down. not right now. Not right now, baby. We're about to go to work. I love you, baby, but not right now. Put it down.
She gave me an hour time limit, so I don't even know what I'm talking about, so I'm assuming it's going to be quick.
Oh, an hour time limit. Oh, you have a hard out. I see how it is. Okay.
Not yet. Working on it.
make sure you're on the right mic, too, because, you know, you sound a little hot. And I'm not at all calling you attractive.
You're not at all?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's probably it.
Oh, yeah.
In Skype. You have to change it every time.
Only you, man.
No, the audio settings, I got to change my mic.
Ah.
Here we go.
All right. There we go.
All right. So it wasn't muted. My headset was muted, but not the mic.
Yeah, because that really helps when you're on the wrong mic. Well, we'll get going here on this episode.
So what are we even talking about?
Well, what are we talking about? Well, there's this thing called Action Lab Comics that's absolutely blowing up these
days.
What's
that?
Hey, Sean, what is Action Lab Comics?
Action Lab Comics is the home of the latest and greatest publisher to hit the scene. We hit the scene back in 2011 with the dark comedy superhero miniseries Fracture. Things really took off for us with the all-ages adventure miniseries Princeless. Volume 2 is currently in pre-production right now. Volume 1, the trade paperback, actually is our best-selling book of all time as of this moment. We got our numbers in a couple weeks ago, and Diamond was very happy about that. Nice. And so were we. Anytime we can make Diamond happy, we're good. So we have that going for us. We actually right now have another book that is currently, as of this recording, available for pre-order called Double Jumpers, which is a mature readers comedy written by Dave DeWanch based off of an idea by me and Dave. But I let Dave run with it because when it comes to the raunchy, not politically correct stuff, Dave is ace. And so and that type of humor was needed for the story. And it's artwork by Bill Blankenship. It's a beautiful book. The pre-order code is MAR120710. And it's currently available for pre-order. And we actually have a special going that if retailers – let me see if I can remember this special because Mr. DeWatch just gave me this special a few moments
ago.
Hold on.
But before you say the special, do me a favor. Go into into tools in Skype and turn off the automatic level adjust on your mic because you keep getting higher and lower on me.
Oh, no. I don't have that. Let me see. Hold on one second because I'm on my Mac right now. Okay, hold on.
Gotcha. Also, make sure you're talking about specials 2 weeks from now because Ian can't seem to get his episodes out on time.
Cassina, I'm handing this shit off to you, so you better well, you better
this
get
one will
this
be out.
Out
before the other one is.
Actually, the other one's out tonight. I'm literally 20 minutes away from done with it. I just gotta put the finishing touches on it.
Okay, if you say so, boss.
All right, I'm telling you, and I will be giving you instructions on how to edit this episode too. So those better be followed, okay?
As long as you're the same as I've always done, then we should have no problem.
I'm just saying that there's some stuff at the beginning that can be kept in, and some stuff that can't. So I'll let you know.
Once you guys were dirty.
We were dirty and we were revealing.
Were you being mean to people? We stopped being mean to people a long time ago.
We were mean to you, but that's
fine. You can leave that in.
Oh yeah, no definitely. No. I'm just saying they were talking about a side project that hasn't been announced yet. So just make sure that gets cut out from the back of the episode when you put that in. All right.
Oh, don't they want to announce it so that way I don't have to do it?
Ain't announced yet. You got to do some work for once in your life. All right.
Oh man.
But here's the deal.
Okay.
You can if anybody goes like local comic book stores, local retailers, for every 3 copies of Double Jumpers that gets ordered from a local comic shop, Dave DeWanch will do 1 sketch card for that shop, a maximum of 5 cards per store. So basically, if a store orders 15 copies of Double Jumpers, Dave DeWanch will draw 5 sketch cards for that shop.
Nice.
So, and this is just, this is an incentive for retailers, taking a chance on Double Jumpers. We also have a special going on through DCB Service right now as well. Like I said, the book is really nice. It's beautiful. It's funny. The elevator pitch would be The Hangover meets Freaky Friday meets E3 Gaming Expo. And it's 4 issues. It is one of the funniest things you will ever read in your entire life.
Nice.
Like I said, I've read all 4 scripts. I've seen the art for the first 3 issues. It's gorgeous. So definitely get Double Jumpers. And we got more stuff along the way. Other things I tell you about once you talk to my homie. So.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. For sure. Well, what I want to know is whether or not Dave DeWanch has ordered that robot hand, because he's going to need that after drawing all those sketch cards.
Well, when he brought that to you, when he brought this idea to my attention, the first words I said, dude, you're insane. I'm like, what are you doing? He was like, we got to do it. He's like, we're going to continue to spread the word of Double Jumpers. And, we're doing as much as we can, whether it be podcasting, Project Wonderful ads, calling stores up, just getting a hold of everyone to let them know. I mean, even there was a 14-page preview of Double Jumpers on Bleeding Cool.
Wow.
Which like kind of blew us all away. And we can thank Jeremy Whitley for that. Jeremy was responsible for that. He's our director of marketing. He's also the gentleman that wrote Princeless. So he was able to get in touch with the people at Bleeding Cool. And because of that, we have a 14-page preview of Double Jumpers on BleedingCool.com. So the opportunity to look at Double Jumpers is out there. I mean, we even have a censored preview on our website.
Nice.
Because we block out all the dirty words.
Censored.
Yes. But, I mean, so there is no excuse not to see Double Jumpers before you pre-order it. Trust me, the book is absolutely positively wonderful.
And because we're this show, we're just going to say all of those words that were bleeped out right now, like in rapid succession, so that you know exactly what you're missing out with that preview. Fuck, shit, crap, motherfucker.
No, shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits, tuts, turd, and twat. Isn't that the Blink-182 song?
Yeah, which is pretty close to Carlin's words you can't say on TV.
I have a question.
Sure.
Will I be able to get this on my iPad?
Actually, you will. When it's released in May, the book comes out in May. When it comes out in May, a few weeks later, it will be available digitally. Our website will be revamped and relaunched by then, and you'll be able to purchase a digital copy there. You'll also be able to purchase a digital copy on Graphically through Amazon, through Kobo, through Kindle. Well, they're still working on Kindle right now, but soon, hopefully, the Nook Store and a bunch of various digital outlets, including like Drive Through Comics and mydigitalcomics.com.
Also, so if you scream loud enough out your window, hey, give me a digital copy, it might actually wind up on your iPad.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty much almost everywhere digitally, and you know, we're sending another batch of books to the digital realm in a few weeks as well. So, you know, like I said, things are really looking up and up for Action Lab right now.
Nice. Just to fuck with Dwanch, Cassina's going to order like 5 copies for like all of his local places, just so Dwanch is going to have to draw more cards, I'm telling you.
Well, you know, but Brent got that boss money right now, though.
That's true.
Brent got that boss money, man. I'm mad at Brent. The only time I get mad at Brent is when he show up late for shit. But I mean, but I understand why, because like I said, the man is married. You know, when you get married, you know, you got a beautiful wife, and you know, you want to make sure she gets the attention that she needs and she deserves for putting up with your ass. And so you got to take out that time. So I ain't mad. I mean, because like, listen, he's probably watching The Voice, and there's probably, you know, there's probably like trying to find out who Adam Levine, who's going to drop or who's going to keep. And I understand that. And that's why I ain't mad.
CeeLo's cat is evil. Oh my God!
I was watching the Breaking Bad marathon on Netflix, so I don't watch it. No, we don't watch none of that singing shit.
You ain't got to lie, Craig.
ain't lying.
Yeah, I'm just fucking with you, Brent.
We believe you.
But no. Brent is right. Yes, you will be able to get double jumper position.
Nice. Fantastic.
All right. You're in 2012. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome. Hey, man, we've been doing digital since 2011, baby. So every book that came out in 2011 is available digitally right now. So we try to stay current. We really do.
Because Morocco Comics knows what the future is.
Oh yeah, definitely. So, and it's no disrespect to local comic book shops either. We know we have to service both areas in order to try to make some money. And you know, with the direct market and the way that works, it takes a while for the direct market to believe in smaller publishers because they have that stigma of it's a small publisher. It won't be around for a while. It'll only be around for a minute, or it might be gone. Well, we've been here for over a year, for pretty much over a year now. Mm-hmm. So now that feeling of, okay, these folks are here to stay. So now we can take more of a chance on their books. But at the same time, not everybody buys books in stores.
Right.
So we got to give those other options, man. You got to do it.
Well, and talking about a guy who knows all about other options and now has himself a new partnership under the table, Mr. Martheus Wade, welcome to the Action Lab family.
Thank you very much, man. You know, it's really, to tell you the truth, it's something that I had been talking to Sean about for a long time, as far as like, you know, doing some things for Action Lab. When we first said something about it, man, it was like over a conversation about over a year ago, a year and a half ago, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it was just me just working on some things, and you know, if the time was right and all that kind of stuff, if the project was right and they felt comfortable, I was like, hey, man, I'm always there, you know, to work on some stuff, because I'm really supportive, especially really now, very, very much so supportive of indie publishers, indie comic book publishers and artists and stuff making it, you know what I mean? Just trying to be able to foster that and help that out, you know what I mean? I've been doing some tutorials and stuff on my blog and all that type of stuff, and I'm really wanting to see that stuff succeed, so I want to be behind and I want to help true indie publishers, you know what I mean? And I think it was just an awesome time and some of the things that we've been working on, man, some of the stuff I can't wait to talk about and to show, man. I'm just super proud of it, having so much fun doing it. And it's gonna be a blast, man. The next year, 2 years is gonna be awesome to see this stuff unfold.
Hey man, you don't have to lie to me. Just tell me that there were Power Rangers action figures involved with this deal.
There were Power Ranger action figures and a Power Ranger convention, pretty much a Power Ranger convention that we're going to at the end of the month. And my wife is warning me not to bust out all of the Power Ranger moves, the Morpher moves from each season to impress everybody, because I might do it. Y'all, man, I don't know what's gonna happen when I get in front of Jason, Dave, or Frank, man. I might get up there and be like, hey, man, you know, I might be just real cool about it, but then again, I might just jump on this table and just start doing katas and stuff. Y'all don't know.
I told Janet that I would keep my eye on Marthaeus and he would be on his best behavior.
Please do, cause you know what? I got a Power Ranger lunchbox, man. I'm gonna have everybody sign it. Man, I'm telling you, I'm excited about
that. But we're not going to have that Erica Durance incident, though.
I'm going to try not to, man.
Wait, say what? What am I missing here?
Marthaeus, explain it. Explain it, dog. Explain it.
Man, see how you find out about the Erica Durance, man?
I'm probably the president of Action Lab, baby. I check everything. I get background checks, man.
So we go to a convention, right? I had this lunchbox. I had this like Superman lunchbox that I got at Superman Celebration. And I go around to conventions. I get everybody that has ever touched or worked on Superman, whether it be comic books or movies or a TV show or whatever, to sign his lunchbox. And, man, right across from our table at this one convention was Erica Durance, and she was signing and stuff. And I was like, man, I'm going to go over there and get her to sign my lunchbox, right? Mm-hmm. So one of my friends, he goes over there. And he's like, I'm gonna go over there first, because he drew this picture of her when she was doing the stripper dance not Street Fighter, that's another woman, in Smallville, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he went across the little way over there, and he was like, you know, standing over there, and I was looking at him, man. This man just melted, like he just like got, I'm talking about just Garfunkel crazy, right? Just his head, it didn't make sense. So he came back, and this was a cool dude, right? He came back, and he was like, man, I don't know what happened, man. I just kind of melted, man. I couldn't talk, couldn't say nothing. I was like, did you get the thing signed? Yeah. I was like, all right, I'm going to go and get my lunchbox. So I made it a point, man. I made it a point to put on my coolest allure, man, and walk over there and was like, you know, I had my game plan. I was like, hey, you know, I just want you to sign this lunchbox and stuff like that, running through in my head. I gave her a lunchbox and I was like, you know, I know that you're a comic book fan, stuff like that. I just wanted you to add to my lunchbox. It'll be a great honor, right? I wasn't expecting her to turn around and geek out over the lunchbox, and that messed me up. So she looks at it, she goes, oh my God, this is so awesome. Who's signed? Oh, Michael Rosenbaum signed it. This is so awesome. I am so happy to sign it. Where do you want me to sign it? And she looks up at me, right? And the only thing I could say was, and that was the exact word. Nothing came out. It was all gibberish. And she kind of looked at me like, okay, well, I'll just sign it right here. Is that okay? And the only thing I could do was just nod, mm-hmm. like an idiot. So I looked up, and her husband is the dude who manages her. I looked up at him because he was standing there, and he just looked at me to shook his head like, man, you did like the 15th dude that did the same thing. You know what I mean? And I walked off. I walked back, and Janet looked at me. She was like, you did it too, didn't you? I was like, yeah, but it's all right. You know, it's cool. It's whatever.
You got pretty hair.
But it won't happen this time, man. It won't happen. The most that that will happen at this one is that I'll have to kia, you know, like in karate, or something like that. You know what I mean? Just, you know, I have to get that out. I might have to do that before I go into the convention or something.
Yeah, get that out of your system before we walk in the show. And that show is the Lexington Comic and Toy Con taking place on March 24th. Yeah, March 24th. So,
yeah.
So if you see pictures on Twitter or Facebook with Marthaeus in a fight with Jason David Frank, a.k.a. Tommy, I had nothing to do with it. I tried to break it up, but I decided to not get kicked in the face. So no, I just took pictures.
They have a MMA seminar that's supposed to be going on there, man. He's supposed to be doing an MMA seminar, man. I want to take that seminar.
No, well, now see, the tickets for that sold out. So.
Oh, dude, seriously?
No, that's a sign from Jesus trying to tell you, keep your ass away from that. We got to sell comics, man. Our job is to sell comics. We got comics to sell. You can do the key op and all that other stuff before the show, you know, because I'm bringing my Dragon Dagger box. I'm gonna have them sign it because, like, you know, that's my
own shit. You can't bring the Dragon Dagger, man. I swear I would take this. I would take it out and I would play the flute. I would have the Dragon Zord just come up out the sea, man. And just be right there.
Man, I'm totally imagining Martheus right now with one of those like anime nosebleed style things, like when he sees somebody that like makes him go gaga, and he's just like controlling it with as many tissues as he can possibly get. Like, I'm okay. I'm alright.
Sean be facilitating this stuff too though, man, because he texted me and was like, you need to look at the lineup. And I looked back up there, and they had, like, at first it was just him. It was just Jason David Frank. And then they had Tanya, man. Tanya from Power Rangers, man. She was a Yellow Ranger, dude. How you going to tell me Tanya going to be there, man? I can't go up and just be like, hey, how you doing? You know, I just want to just talk to you a little bit. Not talk to you.
No, you can't do that, man. We have to be professional, you know. So like I said, get your autograph, do whatever, but we got to be professional.
Make sure to shake her hand, not her left breast, okay?
Really?
Brent, what's the most starstruck you've ever been, man?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I really don't give a shit about the celebs at cons. You're better off talking to my wife.
Yeah.
She liked that Asian Pazdar dude really.
Oh yeah.
Bad that one time.
MegaCon, yeah. that was good times.
Now, if you put one of these hot ladies on my top 10 list in front of me in scantily clad bikini or something, then we might have something to talk about. But just seeing somebody on the street.
Yeah. who's in your top 10? Do I even want
to
know?
Not listed.
TBD.
Exactly. It's an ever-revolving top 10. Depends on who's in front of my screen at the time.
I'm just – wait. No whammies. No whammies. No whammies.
Right. Stop.
Stop that.
And Brent, you'll yet again be happy to know that Jetta Tales of Toshigawa is digital. Digital. Huh?
Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you mentioned that. Because effective this May, coming this May, Action Lab and Toshigawa and Toshigawa.com or Toshigawa Productions, we have agreed to a deal where we will be releasing the entire Jetta series in digital omnibus format. And there'll be in a collected format of volume one, which will be about 120 pages. It collects Martheus knows it better than I do. He can break it down much quicker and much more eloquently than I can. So go ahead, Martheus. The floor is yours.
Oh, no, it's you're doing good, man. I was impressed. but it's 120 pages, full color for the first time, which is awesome. I can't believe how good it looks on my iPad. But 120 pages, full color. It collects the first graphic novel that I ever did with Jetta, which is Jetta Tales of Toshigawa Last Chances, that I published in 2004. Mm-hmm. And Jetta Crucible, which actually is a prequel to Last Chances, but that wasn't published until 2006, I believe. So it was 2 years later. So those two books are in there. Plus, it's got like a new beginning as well, a new intro, and there's new paneling and new inserts in between each chapter. So, I mean, it's pretty much a completely new book with and it reads completely different once you put everything
in order like it is. You know what I mean? Because at first, like I said, we did Last Chances, and then we did enough. We did Defiance, and then Rain, and then after that, we did Crucible. You know what I mean? And Crucible is like a prequel. So I mean, to put everything back into sequence, and when we release these, we're gonna release them all in order. You know, with added extra material in between, the way that I wanted to be able to do it before, because the problem with printing it, you know, in a book form like that, was that I was always budget conscious and I was always cutting things out because of budget. You know, the more pages you have, the more it's going to cost. So if it was something that I felt like I could cut out, I was always cutting and shaving and cutting and shaving. But with it being like this, I can go ahead and put those extra things back, redraw them, make them look really, really nice, and colorize them the way that I always had it in my head to do, and release it, man. So it's kind of this one is a little bit more truer to form than anything I've done.
So this is sort of like the preferred Star Wars viewing order, that sort of thing.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. It's like if you, it really is. It's like if you took and looked at Star Wars from Episode 1 all the way to Episode 6.
Gotcha.
So. Yeah.
And no Jar Jar.
Oh. And no Jar Jars.
Hell no.
No Jar Jars in mine. No Jar Jars.
No Jar Jar, in other words, no Raph. So that's fine. Okay.
But you put him on our Facebook page. What the heck? I go to the new Facebook page because I got the new, you know, timeline layout for pages and shit.
Yeah.
And there's Raph and Brandon, and I'm like, when did they join the fucking podcast? What the hell?
Hey, come on, man. That's memories right there. I mean, it's not like I made him the straight up cover photo. I was trying some shit out, and that just happened to be one of the photos that was mixed in there.
Brent is like, damn it, I'm the sexy one of the motherfucking.
Yeah.
Why am I on the timeline? He was like, don't you know who I am? I am Brent motherfucking Cassina.
Speak it. Got the president of comics over here telling you what's what. So you better listen up.
All right, fine. I'll rewrite everything. It's the Comic Timing Podcast featuring the sexy one and the nerd. All right.
Let's see, Martha. This is what happens when we hop on a podcast. We just cause trouble.
Man, you always take over Comic Timing when you're on it, whether you want to or not.
We cause trouble.
Are we gonna talk about stuff? We're just gonna plug their shit.
What the hell, man? No, we're talking about a bunch of shit right now.
I say we just plug our shit.
Well, what I was leading up to after all this plugging, all right? Because we got one more plug, and then I actually wanted to ask some straight up comic book questions to make Brent's life easy and to make my life easy. It is officially announced. Yes, Sean, before I say anything else here, that it is officially announced Free Comic Book Day. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Well, we're going to put the formal announcement up. I mean, by the time this episode airs, the formal announcement will be on the website and a press release will be sent out. Action Lab canceling Entertainment. Again. Oh, what'd you say, Brent?
Said you're canceling again.
No, we're not canceling. We're not canceling again.
I just listened to that CGS episode.
Man, that episode was crazy. Being in there was crazy, but it was a lot of fun.
It was more crazy that I managed to call in without even wanting to.
Yeah. And then everybody looks at me after, like, Ian's like, oh, yeah, Sean told me. And everybody looks at me like, damn it, Sean. I'm like,
secret.
Hey, man, come on. I was calling in to wish them congratulations. Fuck if I knew that the Ringer would be on.
Oh, no, it's cool, dude. No worries. But no, in all seriousness, on Free Comic Book Day, we are doing a digital exclusive. It is going to be a 200-page digital free comic book magazine called Action Lab Confidential.
Ooh.
And what Action Lab Confidential is, Action Lab Confidential gives you, like, very thorough previews of a majority of the Action Lab library. So you will be able to read, like, extended previews of Double Jumpers, Jetta Tales of the Toshigawa Volume 1, Fracture Issue 1, Princeless Issue 1, Glob World, Snowed In, Back in the Day, Monsters Are Just Like Us, XO1 and the Rock Solid Steelbots, Space Time Condo, and also another book that will actually be available for pre-order in April, the detective series known as Jack Hammer. It's an OGN, collects all – oh, I'm sorry, it's a trade paperback. It collects all four issues of the trade paperback by of the series by Brandon Barrows with art by Ionic. So it will have extensive previews of all of those titles, plus it also will have interviews with some of the creators of said works. Plus, we'll have some other stuff in between, and maybe some additional sneak peeks for projects that that aren't coming out yet. But it's gonna hit about 200 pages, absolutely free. You're gonna be able to get it digitally through Graphically, Drive-Thru Comics, MyDigitalComics.com, a couple other places as well. But that's what we're gonna do for Free Comic Book Day. We were so caught up with everything that's been going on with Action Lab over the last few months that we didn't have time to submit a Free Comic Book Day book to Diamond. So this is our way for to make up for it. And what better way than to give you possibly the biggest book available on Free Comic Book Day. So, and it's digital. So, you can put it on your iPad, you can put it on your phone, you can do whatever you want to do with it. So basically we came up in the joint. We walked through the door and we had Puffy with us, and Puffy was like, "This is the remix," and just dropped a digital book right in your lap. That's what we just did. So, but yes, Free Comic Book Day, Action Lab Confidential, front cover by an artistic gentleman by the name of Rusty Shackles, who is amazing. The name, you hear the name, it's like, what kind of name is that? No, don't pay no attention to that. This brother is talented.
Not Rusty Shackleford, Rusty Shackles.
No, Rusty Shackles, the brother is badass when it comes to art, and it's a beautiful front cover. I can't say enough how much I love putting this book together. It's really, really great. So, and like I said, you'll read this stuff and you'll be like, well, damn, these books were really good. I need to go get them. And they'll be available. So there you go.
I will say exactly that, and I will say exactly that with that exact same inflection.
Oh well, thank you. Well, so good. Yes. All right. But yeah, so there you go. So Brent, you will be able to get that digitally as well. You can put it on your iPad and enjoy yourself.
All right.
Sweet.
And it's your favorite price, free.
That is my favorite price. Now, for the regular listeners who have skipped the 20 minutes of plugging, we can get down to the podcast now.
Hey, come on, man.
I do that. I skip it. People's ads. It's tiring sometimes.
No. Seriously. This is all related. Go fuck yourself. So the main reason I'm bringing all this stuff and specifically the Free Comic Book Day stuff. This is shaping up to be one hell of a Free Comic Book Day. Like all the listings this year, it was tough for me to pick my, what was it, five or whatever that DCBS allows you to pick, just because there's so much coming out this year. I'm really just curious what everybody's major highlights are for Free Comic Book Day coming up, because it's going to be a huge weekend too, because with the Avengers movie coming out and all that, it's going to be all comics all the time for me, and I am very happy about that, I must say.
It's a crazy weekend for sure. But go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. I'll start it with Brent, since he feels like he doesn't talk enough. What Free Comic Book titles are you looking forward to the most come May, man?
I really don't pay much attention until I get to the store. So.
Okay. So you haven't even looked at them yet? Am I gonna have to send you a link?
Pandora thing with probably a bunch of ads for DC's books that I'm already reading. Marvel's probably recycling something. And that's about it. As much as I know. And I'm going to download that 400-page thing from Action Lab.
Well, I'll say one of the things that I'm looking forward to a lot, that there is a hardcover coming out with Mouse Guard for free this Free Comic Book Day. I mean, that is insane. A free hardcover. I mean, yeah, it's a in there with a whole bunch of other stories and everything, but a hardcover for free?
Mm-hmm. That is crazy.
That is nuts, man.
Yeah.
That was what I was going to pick. That and the Yo Gabba Gabba book.
I haven't gotten into Yo Gabba Gabba, should I?
Yeah.
You ain't got no kids, man.
Come on, man.
That's the thing. You got to have kids to be able to really, really... really get the full effect of the awesomeness of Yo Gabba Gabba. Mm-hmm. But I'm really getting that for
I'm really getting that for my little boy, you know. So, but that mouth,
which is what you say now.
Yeah, what I say now, you know. So I don't want to derail, you know, derail people from buying books from me. So, you know, that man some kind of freak, man. He gonna get that Yo Gabba Gabba. I ain't supporting him, you know. No, I'm not trying to do that.
Hey, man, I mean, from everything I've seen of Yoga Gabba Gabba, I mean, I've seen, you know, a couple clips here and there like that. That looks like one of those genuine fun kid shows that only comes around every couple of years.
Yeah, it's just crazy. You know, it's crazy. It takes some getting used to. But, you know, it's something that me and my son can appreciate. You know what I mean? He's three and I can actually look at it. You know, it's not like Barney where you just can't stomach it and he loves it. You know what I mean? You know, so it's something I can actually, you know, get for him and read to him over and over again multiple times and not want to go hang myself.
What about you, Sean? You got anything you're looking forward to?
Yeah, actually the Bongo Free for All, because you can't go wrong with Simpsons comics.
Hell
they're
yeah.
they're always really good. Image 20, Image 20 seems interesting. Mega Man. Because you really can't go wrong with Archie Comics Mega Man. That book is off the hook. The Star Wars Serenity book. I guess it's like a flip book. It's going to have like two stories. One Star Wars story with Han and Chewie, and the other is a Mal Reynolds a Serenity story.
Nice.
Let's see. As far as the other books go,
Buffy the Guild too. Looks like it might be interesting.
Yes, that one. Bad Medicine is interesting. As well as the 2000 AD. Judge Dredd special. Mm-hmm. That seems pretty cool. Let's see, what else is there? As far as other books, I would have to give it to Sonic, because every now and then I will pick up a Sonic comic and enjoy it. And the Hypernaturals by Boom, and the Valiant Preview, and the Top Shelf Kids Club. That stuff interests me most. The Voltron Force thing is Viz Media, it's Viz Kids, so I might have to pick that up. Because I know Viz Kids has the Voltron Force property rights, whereas Dynamite has the original Voltron rights.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's got me a little curious as well. So, there's a lot of good stuff this year as far as free comic book day goes.
You mentioned Hypernaturals, and like I look at that and I see, the, you know, first of all, the words Abnett and Lanning. So immediately I'm like, all right, this could be good here. But I love just how close that logo is to the Avengers logo.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at that myself, man. I was like, whoa. You know, especially, you know, I went to see John Carter and they had the Avengers preview. And then I came home later on that night and I was looking through the free comic book day stuff just to see what was going on, what was on there. And I saw that and I was like, man, somebody going to get sued.
What's up with everybody shitting on John Carter all of a sudden? I don't understand the hate.
That was a good movie, man.
I liked it. I saw it yesterday. It was wonderful.
The hate came from the fact that people were constantly trying to predict that this movie was going to tank and constantly saying that it helped this film and its quote-unquote demise. Now, here's the thing. What cracks me up is that that people are saying that it's going to be the biggest flop of all time and they're not going to recoup. Well, it's already made over 100 million worldwide,
yeah,
including the United States. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, overseas, it's going to do very well. It's going to do really well overseas. But the big problem is that originally people were saying, well, Disney just didn't know how to market this film and that they were scared to use the word Mars because Disney had Mars Needs Moms a couple years ago and it flopped just terribly. I mean, flopped worse than like any film Disney's put out in a long time.
Because that film looks stupid.
Dude, that film made $30. Like, seriously. Like no one went to see that.
And there was a rumor that Disney was scared to use the word Mars because people thought that they would affiliate it with Mars Needs John Carter of Mars with Mars Needs Moms. Well, that's really not the case. Vulture.com put up a very interesting article on why the marketing of the film was so difficult. Supposedly, according to the article, the director, Andrew Staton, who had, you know, directed Pixar movies, very talented gentleman, extremely talented. They gave him carte blanche to do whatever he wanted.
Yep.
So when the marketing people came in to say, listen, we want to start marketing this, this movie, we want to build a trailer. What do you got? Well, the thing is, this was his first live action feature, and building an animated film as opposed to a live action feature are two different things. So when they came to him to build a trailer, a lot of the CGI shots haven't even started yet, or shots were incomplete. So that's why that first trailer is so boring. And then on top of that, when the marketing people went back to Andrew Stanton and said, listen, we want to do this and we want to incorporate show this, this, and this. And Andrew Stanton would be like, well, or Stanton would say, yeah, I agree with that, but change this, 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 and this, and this, and this. So then, which the marketing team said, well, that just means you don't want to do that then. And it became, and the thing is that no matter what the marketing team tried to do, Mr. Stanton had last word. So it had final say because he's done no wrong because of the quality of the Pixar movies. And to his own detriment, that may have hurt him.
Yeah.
Well, so, just called it Pixar and Disney present Carter.
He didn't want to do that. He did not want to have Pixar. He did not want to have his Pixar pedigree on the movie because he thought that that would steer adults away from the movie.
Yeah. No. Adults go to the Pixar films. I do.
Right.
Except for Cars.
Come on, man.
Except for Cars 2. Fuck that film. I love the Pixar movies.
Oh, no. I do, too.
Fantastic. They're the most original movies being made right now because everything else is a recycle, a remake, or a reinvention from a foreign film overseas. Like, what was it? When I was in France, I was catching something on French TV that was it was barely in English because they were interviewing a lot of people. They were speaking in English, but they dubbed French over them. So I was listening very hard. And a lot of movies like Dinner for Schmucks is based on a foreign film, and I didn't know that. There's a couple other ones that are based on foreign movies that never get released over here, but they're just concepts or ideas that they pluck from them and then say, okay, screenwriter, take this and run with it, and then kind of like – you know, I don't know if they mess up the film or whatever. Dinner for Schmucks was definitely a disappointment.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the Pixar films are the most original things being done right now.
Right. Well, that and, like, you talk about the marketing. Like, go back to the Mars thing. Like, I did also hear things like, oh, well, we can't use Mars in the title because then girls won't go see it. And we can't have Princess in the title because then guys won't go see it. Like, they are second-guessing themselves so much on marketing these days when really they should just be focusing on making a damn good movie.
Well, but the problem is that when you're trying to sell a movie and you can't get what you need from the director, that causes a problem. And then you're trying to sell a movie out of fear, and then trying to sell a movie out of fear doesn't help either. And then you start saying things like, this character is 100 years old and blah, da 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 da. I'm like, kids don't give a shit about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not only that, people forget that a lot of the ideas in the John Carter books, whether it be Princess of Mars or whatever have you, those ideas have been done in other science fiction and fantasy films over the decades.
Those rat-stealing bastards.
You know, whether it be Avatar, whether it be Star Wars, anything. I mean, you name it. Like, so many other movies have, you know, taken things from the John Carter series of books because those are legendary books.
Yep.
And they inspired a generation of directors, writers, and auteurs. So it, you know, it's expected. So the marketing team's like, we have nothing to sell.
Yeah.
And by the time they had, like, actual sequences to sell, it was too late. And then you have all these people who now, for a living, breed and pump negativity into the internet ether. And the thing is that if you constantly say how bad a movie's going to tank before it comes out, that does more damage than anything else, because the biggest problem with the internet is that there are always sheep in the world, mm-hmm. but now proves more of a point than ever how easily people are led by just things that people are easily led without facts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's true.
And then that is a major problem, because once those articles started hitting about how, you know, John Carter is going to be a flop, it's going to be a flop, I'm like, this helps no one.
Yeah.
This helps no one. Mm-hmm. And then to come back and write an article and say, oh, you know, we really feel bad that John Carter didn't have a good week. And I'm like, fucker, you're the one that wrote a fucking article saying that it was going to flop. You can't fucking have it both ways.
That's like panning a restaurant, going to it, no one's there, and you're like, man, it's a shame this place didn't really open big. Like you panned it, you idiot.
I described it to my non-nerd friends who didn't know what John Carter was as, it's Tarzan in space. Take it as you will.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's the best I could do. I mean, I know it's by the same author, Tarzan, John Carter, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's a guy jumping around in a loincloth fighting things.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what? It reminded me. There were elements that I was like the Flash Gordon movie from the 80s was pumping through my head. I mean the Queen soundtrack was pumping through my head. I mean, there was some points in there where I was just like, you know, I don't want to give any spoilers away, but I was kind of like, you know, wow, that's almost exactly like, you know, Flash Gordon. It's just done a lot more seriously, you know what I mean? But I mean, that plot point was like Flash Gordon, you know, like the whole flying blind on a rocket cycle, you know, that type of idea kept flying in my head, you know what I mean? You know, I enjoyed that movie. I thought it was cool. I didn't think I was going to like it, and I loved it.
Well, see, one of my closer friends went with her 8-year-old daughter and her boyfriend, and they all hated it, like straight up. Like they didn't like it, and the main reason that my friend didn't like it is because she worshipped the book growing up. Like it was one of her favorite books, and when she went to go see it, she felt like the stuff that she liked most about the book were not transferred well into the movie. Now, I'm a guy who hasn't read the book, so I can't really comment on that, but that's one take from someone who, you know, is very familiar with the source material. So that it could have that going with it too, that people just, you know, are so in love with the book that they can't say positive things about the movie.
I never
read the book either. You know, but I enjoyed the hell out of that movie. You know what I mean? So, you know, but that's just like you were saying. I mean, that's just watch when the Avengers comes out. You know, there's going to be a ton of people that say, "Why that wasn't exactly like the movie?"
Yeah.
I mean, like the book. You know what I mean? Why did they change this? Why did they change that? You know what I mean? There's going to be a ton of people like that. I mean, there were like naysayers when Lord of the Rings came out. You know,
why is Hulk green?
Yeah. He's supposed to be gray at this point, isn't he? You know, that type of stuff.
I thought he was red.
So,
that and I mean, really the only thing that I'm sort of like a little bit about with the Avengers going up to it is that there aren't enough women in the movie. That's my only complaint, that they only have one female member of the Avengers.
Hey, I got Colby Smulders and I got Scarlett Johansson in a skin-tight suit.
I'm perfectly okay with that as well, man. I'm happy with that, too.
Who's to say that we're not going to get a Gwyneth cameo or anything else?
Hey, we could get Carol Danvers show up, maybe. You know,
you never know as a
guest appearance, because I hear that they're doing something big with her sometime in the very near future. So that.
But bring your girlfriends, because it's definitely a man candy movie, because I know Amanda's excited to see it just because Chris Evans is in it in tight outfits again. It's the only reason I got Captain America Blu-ray for Christmas is because she bought it particularly for that transformation scene.
Oh, you didn't buy it at all because you liked the movie?
No, she got it for me. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I got you.
She got it for herself. Similarly, when we were watching John Carter, and Manny loved the movie, by the way, in the prison – or not the prison scene. Anyway, at some point he's got his shirt off, and she finally notices him for the first time going, wow, that guy's ripped. And I'm just like, come on, I'm sitting right here. Jeez. I don't sit next to her in movies and be like, damn, that girl's got some nice boobs or nothing like that. You know, I think that in my head, but never aloud. She's
double
just like,
standard, man.
Wow, he's ripped. Absolutely double standard. Can't believe that. Hopefully she hears me. She comes marching in here and gives me a dirty look.
Damn, that new trailer for Avengers, though, looks so good, man. Like, so good. If I wasn't hyped for it before, which I was, I'm even more hyped now. Just Hulk catches Iron Man.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That's
that
all dope. I need, man.
Yeah. I want a better Dark Knight Rises trailer. I'm sorry. That last one didn't get me very excited at all.
Yeah.
I would have to agree on that. I would have to agree on that, man. I want to see more of the confrontation, I guess, between Bane and Batman. I know they don't want to show too much of anything, you know what I mean, for spoilers, but at the same time, you know, we got to see, that's the major conflict, you know what I'm saying, and we only get one scene of them together, it's not really them together, he's just kind of talking to the camera.
I'm looking forward to the growl off between the two of them, too. Like,
I'm looking forward to trying to understand what Bane says.
Yeah.
I am going to break the bat. What was that?
See, I don't understand what everybody's talking about. I could understand clearly what the dude was saying when I saw that trailer. I'm like,
speak
huh?
Ebonics. I would expect you to.
Oh, all right, see, he got me. I'll give him that one. He got me. You know, but no, I was just like, okay, no, this man. Is cool. Oh, dude, we're cool. I know you're fucking with me. It's all good. But no, I'm kind of glad that the trailers for The Dark Knight are the way they are, because when I go to the movie theater, I want to be able to enjoy it and just not know everything walking in. And I know some people aren't like that. I know other people just like, listen, just give me the whole trailer and I'll go see the movie and it's all good. I still like being surprised. Oh, yeah. Like when I saw that new Avengers trailer, that trailer sold me as opposed to the previous trailers. That one did sell me. And I am, you know, I'm excited. Yeah, I am excited to see it. And I'm looking forward to it.
And there's still mystery, too. Like, they didn't give everything away with the trailer, which is right. Great. You know, we still don't know who the aliens or Asgardian monsters or whatever they are. I mean, people have been guessing left and right, but we're not going to know until we sit down and we watch it in the theater,
mm-hmm.
which I'm perfectly okay with. All right.
Yes.
Even if it ain't Skrulls, I'm all right. God, man. But no, going back to Hypernaturals, though, like, this is a good fit for Boom, I feel, because both Incorruptible and Irredeemable are wrapping up, and that's their, you know, Superman take. So now they get to do their own take on Marvel's big heroes and go from there. And I'm sure this one is going to be just about as unforgiving as Irredeemable and Incorruptible are.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I from what I've read of Irredeemable, I've read the first three trades worth of Irredeemable. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed it, and I can't, you know, I'm looking forward to finishing it. I haven't had the opportunity to read enough of Incorruptible, though,
mm-hmm.
but I still want to check it out because both books tie in together very well. And what I did read of Incorruptible, I did enjoy, but I still need more to get a better understanding of the character of Max Damage.
Yeah.
But no, it'll definitely be, I'm curious to see where Hypernauts, or what is it? It is called Hypernauts, right?
Hypernaturals.
Thank you. Hypernaturals. I'm interested to see where the Hypernaturals land in between, as far as what type of book it's actually going to be,
mm-hmm.
You know, in the quote unquote superhero category. And, you know, because Boom has a diverse line of books.
Oh, yeah.
You know, kind of like Action Lab. We got a diverse line of books too, plug. but no, continue.
Yeah, well, that's and that's the way I feel. Like, Boom is an interesting place because, like, I mean, they lost almost their entire kids line not too long ago when the Disney contract ended, and they've been trying to, I guess maybe refine their voice a little bit over the past couple of months, and I feel like they've been doing a pretty good job of that, both with the adult books and the more kid friendly books that they've been putting out of late as well. Like, I'm actually very happy to see Boom be where it is. I'd be even happier if their trades had more than four issues per trade in it, but that's another story for another time. But that's my, like, one gripe with Boom.
Yeah, well, that's their marketing. That's their marketing concept as far as, you know, how to sell the book. The books are done in four issue story arcs.
Yeah, and then one issue of something that you didn't want.
Yeah, well, sometimes it all depends. Like, and I can kind of understand what you're saying, because I know with the Irredeemable, there's, like, you know, four issue story arcs, and then there might be this, like, one shot that ties in to the storyline but takes you to the past or whatever. So
yeah,
you don't have to read it, but if you do read it, you're better for it. But I don't know. But that's their way of doing things, and you can't knock them for it.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, and going back to other Free Comic Book Day books, now I am most definitely looking forward to Burt Ward, Boy Wonder.
What is that? like seriously, I mean, I don't know what that is. Like, is that his book, or is that somebody spoofing something, or?
You know, they put out, I mean, last year Blue Water put out The Misadventures of Adam West, so I think this is the follow up to that. Like, it's supposed to be. Yeah, after playing Robin on the Batman TV show, Bert still needs to be a hero, and along with a couple of friends, saves the world again and again. So I guess it is sort of tongue-in-cheek, but also just like a comic book at the same time. Like, I mean, I see a cat with a cape and a dog with a cow. So
yeah, that's what I'm looking at. That doesn't Blue Water like put out the Sarah Palin book?
Oh, they do. They most definitely do. Yeah, but they also do fiction books, just not as often. And I know that I think it might have actually been Boom. Now that I think about it, I know someone recently bought out a bunch of Blue Water's fiction books. And started publishing.
It wasn't Boom.
It wasn't Boom. Okay.
It wasn't Boom. Okay. And yeah, they did buy up some. I forget the publisher, but they bought up a bunch of Blue Water's fiction catalog. Mm-hmm. Not the like, you know, famous people stuff. They bought like when they were producing a ton or a good number of like series. They picked up
like
that
Kent
stuff.
Muse and stuff. That's what.
Yes.
Like Kent Muse and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Right.
It's Arcana, okay. Actually. Arcana Studios.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mhm. Yeah. So they do their, and I just said do again. Christ.
Okay.
Poop. but yeah, they do a bunch of weird stuff at Blue Water, and I'm just glad that the words Sarah and Palin are not on this title, because Sarah Palin, the Alaskan Avenger, would not be a title I would read.
Chad Burdett will be extremely disappointed.
Hey man, Chad Burdett was disappointed that that books that he didn't want to read were canceled. So
he digs that shit. Still crying about Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol. Please.
Doom Patrol. Oh, poor baby. Wah.
So Valiant coming back. Good thing, bad thing. What do we think?
You know what? I'm going to give it to Brent. I'm going to give it to Brent first.
All right, Brent. Do you care?
Who?
Valiant. The comic book company. Exo Man of War.
An old comic book strip that's been running forever?
No, not that Valiant. You know, the guys who used to put out Turok and Exo Man of War and stuff like that.
Turok, that was a video game. I don't know what you're talking about.
Ah! Damn it, Cassina!
This only goes to point out that only you old farts are going to give a shit, and it's not going to do that well.
Wait a minute, Cassina. How old are you?
25, but I never read Devaliant.
Okay.
So, readers. Let me rephrase that. Old reader farts. Old fart readers.
Old fart.
However you
old reader farts. I like that better.
Oh, let's see.
Like
now.
What floats up from Bob Breitel's basement. Just kidding. I love Bob. That's love Bob. He's just the oldest guy I know, other than my grandpa. That might not be true. I'm just making that up.
Man, you're pissing everybody off on this episode.
I'm sorry. I'm on a tear today. Oh, we're at 54 minutes. I got a heart out in 6.
No, my take on the Valiant relaunch, I mean, this has been in the works for many a years. Many a years. I mean, there was, I think, like 2 or 3 years ago, they were talking about a Valiant relaunch, and then some things happened, and it didn't happen, and then it was, and it wasn't. But they've got all their P's and Q's lined up. They have the thing where if a reader goes to their local comic shop and say and turns in a piece of paper, they get like the variant cover instead of the quote unquote direct market cover for a book. They also have interactive front covers with like QR codes, I think, if memory serves me right. Mm-hmm. And I see what they're doing, and that's cool. You know, I didn't really get into Valiant until Valiant was toward the end of the Valiant run and it became Valiant Acclaim. Then I went back and read a bunch of the older Valiant books at the time. There's some really good stuff there. Now, the key is, yeah, you could get the old readers back. That won't be an issue. But how much of a market do they think they're actually going to have or trying to attain? That would be my bigger question. Now, as far as the titles themselves, I think the titles are cool. The art teams are cool, especially with Archer and Armstrong. If I would pick up a Valiant book, I would pick that up. I'm not sure if Bloodshot or Rye got a book. I can't remember, but I know Exo Man of War did. But I am definitely interested in reading Archer and Armstrong because that was like one of my favorite Valiant books way back when. Yeah.
If they could get Chris Priest back into comics, that would be something.
Oh, get it. Well, see, no, they're also collecting. That's a whole other thing, too. They're collecting the older Valiant books, and they're going to put them out in trade format. So maybe, possibly, I could get the whole Quantum and Woody run from Acclaim, and not Acclaim, but a Valiant and Valiant Acclaim, mm-hmm. Maybe, possibly. I mean, I still can't get Black Panther from Marvel. well, you know, one of the best runs in Marvel, especially during that period of time, one of the best runs in comics ever, can't even get a digital collective run on that mug.
Yep.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. It's disgusting.
Yeah, well, you can thank the president of BET for that.
We're not going to talk about the animated Black Panther series because it wasn't animated. They just took stills from the damn comic books and moved them a little bit. We're not going to talk about that shit. We're not going to talk about it.
It was absolutely terrible.
That's what was once billed as motion comics.
Yeah, now it's interactive. Now it's Marvel Comics Infinity.
Infinite crap. The DC ones were always better.
Crisis.
And I still like the Watchmen one where the guy is doing the voices for Sally Jupiter, like, "Hello, I'm Sally Jupiter."
Dude, that was scary, man. I watched that and I was just I felt my manhood just dropping like with levels of Metal Gear Solid. Like,
was just, I got all 12 episodes. I liked it. It was good enough for me.
I really want to hear the sex scene. I really want to hear the sex scene with one male voice talking to himself.
That was horrible. That was horrible.
Oh, Owl Man.
That was horrible.
But yeah, like, man, I don't know what Marvel's thinking, man. Because when I heard, you know, this whole thing going down and that they were going to announce it at South by Southwest, I'm like, okay, maybe they're doing something with the digital arm. Maybe they're going to do something, maybe combining Marvel DCU. Ha! Get it? DCU! with their Comixology stuff and offer a subscription or something like that. That would have been really cool. And then we get interactive comic books. Like, is it 1998 again? Did I fall asleep? Like, what? It doesn't seem right, man. Like, it seems like the wrong direction for today's market.
I'll give them time on it. Yeah. They're trying to push the whole interactive side of things, and I'll give them time on that because some of the things that they're trying to do, I'll admit I like. Mm-hmm. Like if a certain page has that code on it, you can put your iPad over it, and it might break down and give you pencils, then just inks,
right?
And then in formats or
yeah, that's kind of cool.
You know, then one of the creators might come out and say, "Hey, this is what we thought of when we did this page." Mm-hmm. You know, whatever. Yeah, and that's cool and fine.
DVD extras, basically.
Yeah, it's essentially DVD extras, but it just all depends on how much Marvel really gets behind it, because there have been a lot of things over the years that Marvel was going to get behind, and you haven't seen. I mean, folks are still waiting for Marvel Man.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and we're gonna keep waiting.
I don't mean that to be negative. I'm just saying there have been many things over the years where Marvel said, "Hey, this is coming," or "Hey, we got this, and you know we're going to do a lot of great things with it," and you don't really hear anything.
Yeah. Well, I would have swore to you that when DC announced the new Watchmen titles, that Marvel was going to fight back with Marvel Man, and then it didn't happen.
Yeah, that caught me by surprise too. Although when the new Shazam came onto the scene, as of this recording,
yeah.
Marvel just announced Captain Marvel, June 2012,
mm-hmm. Which is apparently going to be Carol. It's going to be Carol Danvers.
No, Monica Rambeau. The hater hate continues. Haters, haters, haters.
The one bad thing that ever came out of that Marvel administration was let's get rid of Monica Rambeau as the head of the Avengers because we want Captain America to be in more things.
Oh, hey, why don't we just call her Photon? Why don't we just name her after a bad 80s version of laser tag? Deal. I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter. Treating Negroes bad. Yes, you do.
That needs to be a single on iTunes right there. I like that.
You're still complaining about Static Shock being canceled?
Don't get me started on that bullshit with Static. That was doomed from the beginning.
Oof.
Just don't. Now, you know what? No, I'm trying to be positive, Brent. I'm really trying to be
positive.
You're
never positive on our shows, man.
Because y'all start shit.
Brent was like, right back at you.
Yeah, Brent's like, I'm about to go, but let me go fuck with this motherfucker real quick before I go.
You got anything else you want to add, Brent, before you're hard out?
some dirty motherfuckers.
You're the one who put it that way. I'm just going with it.
Oh, boy.
What? I forgot what we're talking about.
I just heard
Pryor droning on about
the Marvel Infinite stuff. I mean, are you gonna buy into it at all?
Oh, see, I couldn't even tell what it was about. I was trying to read what each thing was, and again, it sounds like they're kind of like, you know, missing the whole point here about the alternate reality, or not alternate reality, the advanced reality with the – you scan the barcode and then 3D shit pops up, and or you get some video and stuff, and they're all like, yeah, this is going to be for the print comic only because that's going to help our sales. But meantime, we're going to drive people to digital with this alternative digital story. It's like, yeah, okay. All right.
And you get a piece of pie with every purchase.
Yeah, good for you that that's what you think is going to work. But honestly, I could give a shit less about, you know, watching a video of a guy drawing a book or, you know, hearing the creator spout off some nonsense about how this story is more important than the other ones or how it ties together and stuff like that. Because they already do that months in advance on Newsarama, Comic Book Resources, and all these other news sites. So really just a 2-minute blurb from them if I buy your the digital version or print version of your comic book when I'd much rather have it digitally and not have any take up any space isn't going to point me to go out to the LCS and go get it.
Yeah, because I'm standing my ground.
This is the future, and if no one else wants to see it but me, that's fine. It'll be my future.
But each
and
comic
in the end, if it fails,
candy.
It'll just be me and the Pirates. Oh. Me and the Pirates.
Yarg. The Pittsburgh Pirates.
Nah, the comic book Pirates.
Oh. Ooh.
That iFanboy interviewed. it'll be me and those guys. We'll have ourselves a little digital party.
Why are we whispering?
Because they're pirates.
Oh. Wait, pirates whisper?
But that's not – I don't do that. I don't do that.
No, you do not. No, because you are a moral man with morality.
Because I buy them through Comixology and – the PKD or Black Box or wait, no, not that's not what it is. What is it called? The PKD? No, that's
Action
not what
Lab.
It is. What is this company called now? Action Lab Entertainment. I got to go download the Graphically app and get their stuff and support those guys because they're friends of mine, I think, or they're friends of the shows. I'm not sure what the difference is.
Motherfucker, you better buy that shit. That's all I'm going to say.
We're just going to whisper the rest of the episode. Okay, now that brings up a good question I have. Yeah. Do you get – if I go and buy stuff off Graphically and I go and buy some Action Lab stuff off there, do you get an email that says, you know, so-and-so just bought blank, blank, blank? Or no. You just get an email that says blank, blank, blank has been bought?
We just – like the way it works with Graphically, every period, every like quarterly period, you receive a report saying how many copies of X sold. And in what formats they sold under, whether it be if it was bought via the iPad, whether it was bought via whether it was bought via an iOS device, Android, off the web, or you know, or through other various means. They let you know and they break it down that way. That's it. We don't know specifically who bought what though, through Graphically.
Okay, so okay. You don't get our name, address, and phone number.
No, none of that.
Yeah.
So I don't have to fear any retribution if I forget.
Oh, no. I just
he'll still know. Yeah, he'll still know. Because he has people.
That's yes. The president of comics, Baraka Comics over here. He's got executive powers. He can
hey man, I'm
kill
I'm
U.S.
Work-
citizens and shit like that.
Hey, I'm working on my second – I'm still working on my second term, man. You know, like this is like election season.
You got to refute those idiot Republicans, man. Those guys are just tards. I swear to goodness. Not one of them seems like a real person or a viable candidate. They're all, I mean, and they're just plain ugly. There's not one of them is a good looking man.
Baraka Comics is running unopposed.
Baraka Comics and Barack Obama, good looking dudes.
Running unopposed.
Well,
I'd like to see Baraka Comics run for Pope. That's what I'd like to see. Then you get some real change up in this world.
That ain't never going to happen. That ain't never going to happen. Ever,
battle
man.
Pope.
Battle. Wow.
Oh, it had to be brought up.
Yeah, you did have to bring up Battle Pope. You're like, Martheus can't even say anything right now. He is like just...
He's mesmerized. That's what he is.
Dumbfounded.
I'm listening to you guys go from like
the presidency to comics, back to the Pope, and back to what was the last thing? Exo Man of War, and then back to the Pope again. I'm lost.
Speaking of lost, let's talk about no. All right, that show's over. It's over, man.
But I'm still confused.
Let it go.
And then whispering, and then whispering, and then dude talking about he's gonna go get something from his wife, and then everybody upset.
And then
why is everybody upset?
No, I ain't upset. I'm like I said, I was just fucking with you because your ass was late. But then you said you was on an hour time limit, and you know I'm not mad. If you have the opportunity to go do what you have to do,
it's not an opportunity. It's responsibility. Well, husbandly duties, man.
No, when you say it's a responsibility, then it sounds like a chore.
Not a chore.
No, I know that. I know that, and you know that. But see, I'm just trying to look out for you in the guise that one day she hears that and is like, responsibility. Oh, so you just saying, I mean, it's just a chore? Like, are you supposed to take out the garbage?
I don't care if she hears it.
Okay, cool. No problem. Well, hey, man, go to work.
Go to work. But now he makes it sound like a chore.
No, he makes it sound like a job. You got your duty.
You said it was all the same, so yeah. Hey.
Most importantly, though, and most importantly, though, Martheus got his Sunday.
Dude, I got my Sunday, though. I still be getting my Sunday, too, man. Julian, that's for you.
I thought we weren't supposed to talk about Super Show Sunday issue ever again.
Oh, it always comes back to the Sunday.
Don't talk about the Sunday. Please, go let Brent have some sex.
And with that, I'm out.
Farewell, Casino. We will continue on in your absence, and we promise not to make fun of you that much.
Farewell, my brothers.
Farewell.
Peace out.
Talk to you later.
My power and all that.
All right. So we are now casino-less, but the show goes on because it's my show and I say when it ends.
Man, a narcissist, dogs. A narcissist.
Damn. Well, I meant to ask you, Martheus, on this whole Marvel Infinity Crisis on Infinite Marvel bullshit. As an artist, what do you think of augmented reality, being able to see the pencils and the pens and the all that jazz if you click on it or whatever?
You know, I like the idea. You know, that was an idea that I really, when they started talking about digital comics in the first place, that I really want to see happen. But the thing about it is I haven't seen it happen anywhere better so far than Five Star. Mm-hmm. From Five Star with Norton and Tim Seeley.
Are you talking about Four Star Studios?
Four Star Studios with Norton and Tim Seeley, and their app, the way that they have their app set up, is really awesome. You know what I mean? It doesn't impede. See, the thing is that what I want as an artist, you know, and a comic book creator, is to be able to still technically have a book, right? If anything that I'm doing or that the interface is doing is interfering with the readability of that book, it's no longer a book anymore. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And for anything to have like some kind of 3D pop out thing, it's great to have bells and whistles or whatever. But if I can look at something and at my and like be able to like for instance the app for Four Star Studios, right? It is able to, you know, at a click, you click and the pencils, the text goes away, then the colors go away, then the inks go away to the pencils, and the pencils go away to the sketch, you know what I mean? But it's in a certain way to where it doesn't impede from your reading experience. You never forget that you're reading a comic or you're reading a book.
Right.
I think that's where the specialness of actually having a book in hand, I think that's what people that are staunchly for buying a printed book are starting to kind of have their argument made or their arguments, you know, they start to present their arguments that way because they're saying that they no longer have a book anymore because that's not a book. You see what I'm saying?
I hear you.
As a creative, I would like to see something that doesn't impede with the story that I'm trying to set up.
Okay.
I guess, and the longer the short. So I don't know though. I don't know. It might be the next best thing since sliced bread. I don't know, but I know that adding a lot of extra stuff onto just the page, right,
mm-hmm.
may be a little bit. It may impede with the actual story, and at that point, it's not really a comic book you have anymore.
So basically, you want it to be as natural as possible.
I want it to be as natural as possible, but you could be able to possibly go back, maybe a toggle switch or something like that, to where you can go back in between the two versions or something like that. If they can put that in there, then that's cool. Just as long as it's not all one into one interface to where, you know, I have to have a learning manual in order to read the comic at that point. You know what I'm saying?
Insert slot A into slot B and adjust thusly.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, but I mean, some of the stuff, like I would like to see, you know, commentary from you know, the creatives, you know what I mean, the writers, the illustrators, you know what I mean. I would like to be able to see the pencils and the inks and stuff like that, you know what I mean. I think that those are good things, you know. So it's just, I guess it just depends on how it comes out. I don't want to make a judgment on something before it actually comes out. You know
okay.
what I mean? I want to be able to work the interface myself, download the app, look at it, work the interface myself, and see how it goes. But then again, at the same time, I hate to say it. Well, I don't hate to say it. I'm more into my independent title stepping up. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I'm really into the independent guy stepping up, and I don't want to be the guy or the creator that's waiting on the mainstream or the big two in order for me to make a move. You know what I'm saying? So I'm always, that's why I was so impressed with what 4Star was doing, because they doing something that was you know, better than Marvel and DC at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I'm behind. So I'm looking for I really haven't been paying attention too much to what Marvel and DC are actually doing as far as like the digital realm is concerned. I'm really concentrating on seeing what, you know, what the independent guys, like the Way of the Stick, the independent webcomic
guy.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the fact that they raised over $1 million for their Order of the Stick.
I'm looking at that. I'm like, what? You know what I'm saying? That, mm-hmm. That's the kind of stuff, because really, tell you the truth, the position that I'm in as an illustrator, that's the way that my growth is actually going to come from that way. It's going to come from digital. You know what I'm saying? It's going to come from my artwork being as best as I can get it to my fans, my particular fans. You know what I'm saying? The people who want to pick up my stuff. You know what I'm saying? And being able to get them into one spot, and being able to, for lack of a better word, you know, give them what they want. You know what I'm saying? The more that that digital comes out, the more it's going to be able to have independent guys and creators specifically meet the needs of their fans. You know what I'm saying? Without having, you know, to go through, you know, middle person,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Or a bigger publisher, you know, you can just meet your fans.
I hear you.
So that's the way that I've been looking. Sorry to take it on a tangent, but I'm kind of looking more that way than looking more mainstream.
No, it's a natural tangent. I mean, that's fine, man. I mean, I was just absolutely curious what you thought about it, and that's pretty much exactly what you said right there. Sean, what about you? I mean, could you possibly see something like this as quote unquote the future if this works right?
If it works right, yeah. If it works right, the goal for me, the way I look at it is that, like with what Marthaeus said, I want to be able to read my comic first before anything else, before any extra bells and whistles or whatever. I just want to make sure I can read my comic, because that itself is the art. You know what I mean? That's the finished piece. Anything else is an extra. And he's right. 4Star Studios does it best. Uh-huh. And so when I look at the Marvel AR thing and you have to hold the iPad a certain way and have the comic in a certain way, and I see Iron Man like fly off the pages and like fly through your iPad or whatever, that's cute. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, that's cute. And I want to see what this actually can do, you know, myself rather than seeing like demonstrations and whatnot. I want to see what it can do, and I want to see if they can, if they're going to commit to it.
Right.
Then, because that's my biggest problem with the bigger publishers, committing to something. Because if you're not really going to truly commit to it and give it that growth it needs, then this is all a fad. Yeah. And that's the thing. And like I said, it's new, so I'm not going to say I'm not kidding. I'm not going to make jokes about it. Whatever. I want to see what it is they truly want to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to do something with it, more power to them. And if this helps to put books in more people's hands, then great. Because the thing is, here's my whole thing. If you're going to read a comic, you're going to read a comic, period. I don't think something like an AR app is going to bring in new readers per se. Because the thing is that you got to make sure still people got to get to the comic store, because you can't get an Avengers comic anywhere. You can only get them at a certain, you know, comic retailer or maybe a certain bookstore. That's really about it. So, you know, people already know where to get Avengers books if they know about comic book stores and whatnot. Oh, yeah. Now your new readers, where this app might come in handy is that if people go see the Avengers movie and before the movie comes on say, hey, guess what, kids? Guess what, peoples? There are Avengers comic books out there. Go to your local comic book shop and go get them, and then go get the Marvel AR app and see what comics can do, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
You do something like that instead of saying after the movie, yeah, we make comics.
Yeah, and that's the same damn argument that we've been having for the last, you know, 5 years on this show, is that why are they not doing that? And I feel like there is no answer to it other than the fact that they're just not. And I don't get it.
No, I don't understand it either. And like, as far as budgeting and advertising, you know, that might come out of Marvel Comics advertising budget, right, as opposed to Marvel Entertainment's advertising budget. So, you know, we don't know these things. But what we do see is that we don't see, you know, the movies backing the comics. The comics will back the movies in a heartbeat, and will make proper changes when need be, like with Hawkeye. Hawkeye now looks like the movie Hawkeye, which is familiar to the Ultimate Universe Hawkeye. Mm-hmm. So,
and it looks like we're getting a black Nick Fury.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. That's what the battle scar was. It Battle Scars.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? No, I'm just going to withhold all comment on Battle Scars. Because I have a lot of issues with that book. It's one of those things where, like I said, comics will make the changes for the movie franchises. And now we kind of need, you know, we need to see more of the movies saying, hey, you know, you want to go buy some comics, go buy some comics. And I mean, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I mean, with other things, it all depends. I mean, like if kids see a movie that's, you know, kid oriented, they go to the store, possibly see a toy, or they find a game. There's always like an ancillary product for a kid to go get, or a young adult to go get. And with these comic book movies, the toys do fine. You know, kids will go into a store, they'll go say, "Ooh, Avengers toys. I want Iron Man. I want Cap. Blah, 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 blah. Give me some new Hulk hands," which are a lot smaller than the original Hulk hands. But, I mean, you guys saw them in the store. I'm like, they didn't cut back on product. Yeah. But, you know, it's also, you know, I understand. Cut back. No worries. Oh, but like when it comes to comics, once again, it's like it's not that it's difficult to know where a comic book store is. But if you don't understand how comics work, because we don't teach art anymore. I shouldn't say that completely. That's a fallacy. That's a blanket statement.
Right.
We don't teach art in enough neighborhoods.
There you go.
How about if I say that? There's not enough art education. Mm-hmm. And if there isn't enough art education, you know, people don't understand that comic books aren't just for 5-year-olds reading Richie Rich. Okay. It's beyond that. Comics are for everyone and everybody. There are all types of genres and all types of stories. But the thing is, people don't know that. And another thing is that, and I've said this on this podcast so many times, you know, people don't see comics as a form of literature because, once again, lack of art education.
Right.
And until we break that, honestly, this cycle won't change. It really won't. Yeah, Watchmen's been selling in bookstores for ages and for years. Yeah, that's Watchmen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, not there's only one Watchmen.
Yeah, there's only one Watchmen, yes. So that's a little different. But without art education, I don't think we can improve on sales of comics. You know, I mean, yeah, we keep waiting for things to cycle back, but like these independent publishers, like Marthea said, going back to Four Star, we have to be our own catalyst. We have to do it ourselves. We have to go hand to hand and explain to people who we are and what we do. You know what I mean? And by doing that, hopefully we are adding to the number of comic readers and hopefully getting future comic readers from their families. And that's our job. And I know I've went on a major tangent. As far as the whole technology thing goes with Marvel AR, but it all loops back to this. If people want it, they'll go get it. Honestly, if people want it, they will go get it. But the thing is that, yeah, you can talk about it at South by Southwest, but that's just South by Southwest.
Yep.
You can talk about it on the internet, but that's just the internet. Mm. And we all know the internet. People get excited about stuff for 5 minutes until that next shiny ball rolls right past.
Yep. Squirrel.
Yep. So, you know, there's going to have to be a continued and prolonged push for this to work,
right,
for this augmented reality to work. You just can't announce it and say, okay, we did our part, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not going to work. It's going to have to be continuous. And by continuous, maybe a year straight. And I mean hard pushing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like Brent is doing right now, hard pushing.
Giggity.
but no, that's going to have to be done in order for this to be successful.
Yeah. Well, see my problem with this, and actually, no, not my one problem, but one thing I hope does not happen with this augmented reality is I'm perfectly okay with the augmented reality the way that they're describing it. Like, yeah, if you get extra art features, that's perfectly fine. If you get, you know, commentaries from the creators, that's perfectly fine. What I don't want to start seeing is content such as, you know, word balloons and extra art that's only available in this augmented reality version of the comic. You know, like, right. I don't want scenes that are exclusive to that. Because, yeah, I can see how they're going to think, oh, well, hey, I mean, this is an added bonus for those of you that get this. But no, if it's, like, important story or extra bits of the story that we're only going to get through that, you're just going to piss people off that way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the one thing I hope they don't wind up doing with this. Other than that, yeah, it looks like it could be interesting if done properly. But, you know, we won't know until we see it, just like we've been saying all episode.
Yeah, and that's I mean, we can only speculate. I mean, we don't know. And so that's why, like, I guess I'm looking at it just from a perspective of, like I said, I'm not, good for them for trying it. But for now, I'm just, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yep. For now, Action Lab Comics will happen the way Action Comics will happen. There won't be any extra features.
Oh, for now.
For now.
For now. I mean, honestly, if we could do it right now, if we had the technology to do it right now, every book digitally would have the same ability as Four Star Studios books.
Right.
You know, the ability just to see pencils, just to see inks, to see the color flats, and things like that.
Yeah, but you got what you got, and that's
What we have. But the thing is that we have great books, so the story should be enough.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The story should be enough.
I think that's a key thing. You know, it's just, you know, when it boils down to it, just make good stories. You know what I mean? And the rest will happen. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what platform you're on. Just make good stories, you know? If you can make good stories and just bring people from that, then you're good. You know what I mean? Don't try and tie it into a movie. Just make good stories, you know?
Yep.
And I think that everybody can pretty much agree on that.
Oh, yeah. Now, no. Yeah, because if the story's shit, it doesn't matter how pretty it looks.
Right,
I ain't going to read it.
You know, just kick ass and make good stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
But there again, like I said, I'm looking to the independent section of the comic book universe to step up and take, you know, have more notice being taken. When I mean independent, I mean, I'm not talking about, like, you know,
IDW or Dark Horse or something like that, because, you know, they are what I like to call established independents. You know what I mean? They are established. I'm talking about other guys who don't have that money capital coming in, and
right.
who are doing something, you know, who are still doing some kick-ass stuff. They just don't have the people just looking at them. You know,
small enough where they can take some risks and hope they pay off.
Right. What are these guys doing? You know, I mean, because these guys are the ones that at the end of the day, they're going to be the ones who's going to be making some kick-ass stuff because they can. You know what I mean? They don't have to go to some you know, bureaucratic, you know, system, do some bureaucratic system to be able to ask, can they do something creatively? They just turn and just do it. You know what I mean? This is what they and it'll be true to what they want to do and true to what their art form is, and that's where I think the major push for digital is actually going to come. I don't think it's going to come from Marvel or DC, because Marvel and DC still have to sell comic books, which they really consider going to be floppies. And you can't get rid of, you know, their need to be able to have Diamond and the current comic book system work. It has to work that way. And in order for it to work that way, Marvel and DC have to continue to do business the way that they do business right now. You know what I mean? The direct market is dependent pretty much on that. But these other guys that are smaller out there that, you know, are not in the direct market, that are just moving, you know, that they're still able to move books and they're still just worried about their readers, those are the dudes who the new innovative reading system for digital is going to come from.
Yep. It's a whole new world, baby.
Yep.
Word. And you know, I think we've done a good job of going all the way around here. Like, we've pretty much gone full circle on the episode and the conversation in general. So I am happy to say that this is a Comic Timing episode that will be over before midnight.
Yay. Isn't that a first, ladies and gentlemen?
I know. And that's what happens when I'm the only one at home and I ain't sitting on my ass watching TV.
And I only had time for one beer.
Wow. Ooh. How about that? What you sipping on?
I had a Samuel Adams Alpine Spring.
That's pretty good. It is.
Yeah, it actually is. Like, I don't really have time to drink, to drink a beer. Mm-hmm. But every now and then, you know, like, I'll buy a six pack and it might take me 2 weeks to get rid, you know, to finally take care of it.
Yeah.
But no, every now and then I pull out when they have these mm-hmm. available for the spring, I'll pick up a six pack and enjoy it.
Always drink beer, but when you do, you prefer Samuel Adams.
Yes.
Stay Massachusetts, my friends. and for once, I was drinking water and not beer, and yet I'm still fucking crazy. So how about that? Let's just to make Brent happy, we're gonna plug everything again, because that's what we do at the end of episodes.
So, all right.
So Martheus Wade, where can they find your stuff?
You can go to www.toshigao.com, and that's where all the Jedi information out. We got some free web stories and stuff for you to read, and for you to get accustomed to, or acquainted with the characters before you go and grab the digital book, the digital omnibus. Because I know you will buy it. Because if you don't, I'm gonna come over to your house personally, me and Jason David Frank, and we're gonna call up the Dragon's Door. I'm sorry. But you can go to toshigao.com. I also have a Mall Productions studio page, which is mallproductions.blogspot.com, and that's where I put like tutorials up. Like, every Friday, me, Janet, and my editor Kevin put up tutorials about different aspects of what we do. You know, so the next one. Tutorial that's coming up this Friday is about inking. So it's just all about the different ways that we ink. I'm doing some comic book pages. Janet's doing a comic book pinup, and Kevin is doing comic strips. We're just taking how we break down the pages, how we break down panels, and how we ink. So that's there. Some tutorials are there for that. And this goes directly into Mr. Pryor. You can go to Action Lab Entertainment as well and look up Jetta Tells of Toshigawa Beginnings, which is Omnibus 1. That's going to be coming out in May digitally. 120 pages, full color for the first time with extra additives and no preservatives.
Nice.
And then, and at the end of the book, you know, there's a big write up about, you know, my thoughts, how I came about publishing the book and all that type of good stuff. It's going to be an excellent, excellent digital omnibus for you to break in and start reading this book.
Sweet. Color's pretty.
Thank you.
and Mr. Pryor.
All right. For everything Action Lab Entertainment, go to actionlabcomics.com. At actionlabcomics.com, we keep things up to date as to what is currently available for pre-order, any events that we're doing, whether it be conventions or shows or whatnot. Also, we have a list of our books that are currently in the direct market, and we add to that every single month. The website will be revamped within a few weeks. There will be a complete and fully functional store within a few weeks. So by basically the beginning of April, you will be able to buy print versions of our books, special editions or signed copies of our books, digital copies of our books, Action Lab T-shirts, desktop wallpaper, all types of stuff. Because like the main goal is that we know there are a lot of people that want Action Lab material, and sometimes they're not able to get it from their local comic book shop. And if they can't, they can come to us. So, you know, but I mean, we always give the LCS as many opportunities as possible to order our stuff, and, you know, we let them know of it. But in the event that a customer can't get what they need from their shop, or from online, they can come to us and get it directly. Our books are also available on the Graphically app. You can also get them at drivethroughcomics.com. You can also get our books now through Amazon. Right now, through Amazon, they're available through the Android app and the Google Bookstore. But very soon, they'll also be available for the Kindle. They're still working on this whole processing thing to have them available on the Kindle. But our books are also available via the Nook, the Kobo, also through Facebook, and also through the Apple Bookstore as well.
Nice.
So you can get our books at the Apple Bookstore right now as well. And they're working out how the books are actually listed. When the books were originally submitted, they submitted them, you know, under the names of one of the creators and not the actual title itself. Okay. So when I found that out, I freaked the hell out, and I said, "You gotta fix that. People can't find the book if it's just under a creator's name."
Right.
And so they are working on fixing that. But yeah, you can get them directly via, directly via the iBookstore. So it's a really good thing that we're getting our books in as many places as possible. And like I said, Martheus with Jetta Tales of the Toshigawa, the first digital collection, will be coming out this May. Don't forget Action Lab Confidential, the massive free Comic Book Day digital magazine. Just 200 pages of flat-out greatness. You will love every last bit of it, covered by the one and only Rusty Shackles and a slew of talented artists and creators inside of the book with a number of titles for free by Free Comic Book Day. It will be available on the Graphically app. It will be available at Drive-Thru Comics. It should be available on MyDigitalComics.com as well and a couple other places. So, like I said, we're doing a lot. We got a lot of projects in the works. And also, congratulations to the Princeless team. Princeless was nominated for five 2012 Glyph nominations.
Wow.
We went toe to toe with Ultimate Spider-Man.
Nice.
So that's really, really cool. And sometime in May 18th, we find out if we actually will win a Glyph Award. So that's a really, really big deal for us. And it even got a little bit of press. We were on, we were mentioned on the beat of Heidi McDonald's blog, mm-hmm. A Comics Beat. We were mentioned on there for that. And it's really cool, man.
That is really, really cool. And how about PKD and the Black Box and all that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. PKD Media. The PKD Black Box, that's my podcast. I do it biweekly. I do this podcast biweekly, but it also has a number of other podcasts within that feed. My podcast deals with pop culture, comics, movies, pretty much everything. As a matter of fact, for the month of March, we're talking about hip hop. So, you know, go check out, you know, what we're doing over there. You can go to hhwlod.com and click on the PKD Black Box icon, and you will see listings for the PKD Black Box episodes, as well as Donnie Salvo's Tales from the Attic, where Donnie jumps into a long, long box of comics, pulls out a comic, and tells you that story in his own comedic way. And the topical podcast known as Carol Chronicles, which deals with sports, professional wrestling, and technology. So, you know, we've got it all, hhwlod.com. And also, you can get that podcast on iTunes. If you type the PKD Black Box in iTunes, you'll be able to get it there. And the website is currently being revamped. Honest to goodness, I know it's taking forever, but, you know, right now, Action Lab is my number one priority.
Right.
So hopefully very soon it will be ready.
All right. Cool. Fantastic, man. Well, major, major good times having you on the show, man. And you'll definitely be back again, whether you like it or not.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, right now, Brent is probably playing like Knockin' Boots by H-Town. You know, and then like that music coming in. Last night I thought tobacco when we made good love. Listening to some Marvin Gaye all night long.
An episode of Comic Timing with you on it is not complete unless you've sung at least once.
Everybody that listens to this show knows about the 90s and that song Knockin' Boots by H-Town. And if you don't know, you should know and go get your groove on right now.
See, now all I can think of is, because I've been watching the Showtime show Shameless lately, there's this one character named Jody on it who's a recovering sex addict. And every time he has sex, it's to Kiss from a Rose by Seal. And he cries every time.
That is funny. That is funny.
Baby! And Martheus, man, it's good to finally get you back on.
Man, yeah. It's good to be on, man. I was been wondering when we were going to do this again, man. I thought we were going to do this at Super Show, but, you know, it's not.
Yeah,
not
well, it's all right, yeah. Man. There'll be other Super Shows.
Yeah, it's whatever. So,
we'll get more Sundays. Don't worry.
Yeah, most definitely, man. So, whenever y'all want me back on, man, I'm more than happy to jump back on and talk topics.
We're there. We'll let you know for sure.
Yeah.
All right, and Brent Cassina, the dearly departed. So the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com. Graciously hosted by Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. 7 years and running. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yep. Major props to Comic Geek Speak, man. They are fantastic. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com and the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. And check us out on iTunes. Give us some iTunes reviews. And head to our Facebook at facebook.com/comictiming. Because we were the first ones to get Comic Timing, we now have that URL. It's easy to remember. Go there. And we're even on Google Plus, but we never update it. So, for Sean, for Martheus, for Brent Cassina, not the boots, I'm Ian Levesey, reminding everybody out there that there's always time for comics. Exactly how we forgot. We never record on Mondays, so of course he got it in his head that that we were either doing it another day or it went out one ear and in the other.
That's a shame. Boy got married and just like forgot everything about podcasting.
Dude, I forgot everything about drawing for like the least three, four months after I got married. But I mean, I understand.
No, man. Look, no. Listen. I mean, the dude just got a job. And he got his wife, who's a very wonderful woman to put up with this man. So, you know, the fact that he can't, you know, keep his shit together just utterly disgusts me. Yeah, I am just disgusted. Utterly and thoroughly disgusted.
Man, I'm so happy I hit record. back of the episode material right here, man.
Yes, it is. I'm great. You know I love you. Now, you know I love you. We cool, but I have to fuck with you because guess what, brother? You're late.
Damn, you're
late.
Right.
See, the Negroes are on time today. You're late.
Hey, you know what? That's the truth, man. How does that happen?
He is on WP time. So, yo, we are on time. He is late.
Hey, I'm amazed that I'm on time for anything since Chris is out of town, so she ain't here to remind me.
We're gonna have to work on y'all.
She's in Austin for a gadget event, which is in no way related to South by Southwest, because you can't mention South by Southwest like you can't mention the Super Bowl.
That is true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she's at a gadget event. I put up my fingers to do quotations.
Yes. I mean, it is an event run by GDGT, the website gadget.com. So, yes, it's a gadget event, but it's happening in the same town as South by Southwest, but no relation whatsoever.
Okay. I thought it was like that commercial they had during the Super Bowl where they were played every year with, like, it's called Dean's Dip, where like, you could win something, but it was like, it would be super, like a bowl of Dean's Dip, because you can't say Super Bowl, because the NFL will come and either sue you or kill your children, unless you pay for that endorsement.
My favorite is The Big Game.
Yeah, it's so freaking lame. It's so freaking lame.
Like, no one knows what you're talking about.
Ridiculous.
I don't know what they're talking about.
I don't know what anyone is talking about.
I don't pay attention.
Well, it's obvious we know who definitely didn't pay attention. Brent, because the motherfucker's late.
Damn right.
Everything goes. See how that works back.
Oh, yeah.
This
see,
went right back.
I took it right back full circle. Brent is going to have all-out hatred on me after he hears the end part of this episode.
Yo.
That motherfucker.
So on a not related to Brent note, so Raph had his birthday party on Saturday, and it was all you can eat sushi and other stuff at this place called Ichiyumi, and then we did karaoke for about 4 hours, and our motherfucking reprise sex kick.
We did.
Oh no.
To a whole new crowd.
And I take it went over well.
Oh yeah, no, everyone in the room loved it. I even threw out Like a Virgin in Shatner style.
Awesome. Did you get video of that?
I did not, sadly, no.
Oh, come on, man. Yeah. How did you not get video of that?
I forgot my camera. That's what it is. Because God forbid anybody else have anything to record anything. I completely forgot to bring the flip with me, and that was it.
Did Raph get y'all thrown out?
No. It was a private room. Otherwise, he would have. He's got a nice place set up for himself in the projects. I gotta say.
Is that like an oxymoron?
It
worked out right.
He did his best to make it livable, even though it's in the projects, and it's, you know, like my tax-paying money is paying for his apartment. So that lucky son of a bitch. Better enjoy his Fios and his big screen.
Wait a minute. Why are you announcing that he has a Fios and a big screen in the projects? Why are you making him a target?
I ain't telling you which project.
Okay. All right.
There are many projects. This is New York we're talking about, all right? There ain't just one.
Okay, no problem.
I'm not going to rat the guy out like that.
You know, I mean, like if you just say he was like at the Brooklyn Zoo, you know, I'm like, oh, I got some friends over there. Let me get some phone calls. Get a new TV.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Brooklyn Botanic Gardens.
What'd you say?
I said yeah, in the Brooklyn Botanic Gardens, right?
But good for Raph. Good for him. Seriously, good for him. I'm glad he moved out. You know, now he just needs to get a good job. And I mean, don't get me wrong. Midtown is cool. I think that's great, but how far can he go there? You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Because of the way everybody else is positioned at Midtown, there's no spot for him.
Yeah.
You know, there's no advancement there.
Right.
You know, there's no advancement. There will be a few people that will advance over him, mm-hmm. but I don't think there's a spot for him.
Well, they've already said that if for some reason one of the managers were to leave, or the assistant manager was to leave the downtown branch of Midtown Comics, downtown Midtown, oxymoron, then he will probably wind up in the assistant position. But that's got to happen first. You know,
what does he do there?
He's a floor manager, basically, without the title of floor manager. Like he restocks the shelves. He makes sure that everybody's all right on the floor. He gives directions because he's been there the longest out of anybody who's not a manager right now. But
really?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he's been there, fuck man, at least 3 or 4 years now.
I just found out that he worked there this past Super Show. I didn't even know.
You know, he works at Midtown Comics.
I didn't know he worked there. The reason why he let me know was that he said that they still had some the Jettas up there.
Yeah.
Some Defiances. And I was like, really? Because I don't have any. And I was trying to get them. And you sent them to me? Man, he's home. You know, so. But, I didn't even know he worked there.
Yep. Mm. Yeah, well, that's his sort of foot into the comic book world for now, while he gets all the rest of his shit going. But and we're out. Bam. So did you guys record the Power Rangers episode?
No, that didn't happen because that unfortunately didn't happen. What
did you say? You did hip hop instead of Power Rangers. I was mad.
Hey man, I had to do what I had to do. Otherwise, there'd have been no podcast for the month of March.
Damn. Yeah, I mean it sucks that my weekend turned out that way, man.
Oh no, it's okay. I mean, like the way it worked out, like I honestly have to record 4 episodes in a month, so I can like basically do 2 months of programming per recording month. So like say for instance like this month. I recorded actually like late February, like the beginning of the end of February, I recorded the 2 hip hop episodes back to back, and that covered March. That covered March 6th and March 20th. Mm-hmm. And then, like last week, I recorded with Mark Johnson. We talked about the Star Trek movies. Uh-huh. And so that covers a spot in April. I still have another spot in April that I need to fill.
Okay.
But like then, I've already recorded an episode for the first week in May, and that talks about like favorite Avengers storylines of all time. Okay. with Donnie and John.
Nice.
And so I got that already covered. So I need like an episode for April the 4th, and then I need episodes for more than likely like the 16th and the 30th, because I think I have 3 episodes.
Can I suggest something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Marvel movie retrospective. Weeding up to Avengers.
See, well, that's the whole thing. Like, that's what the Avengers episode on May 2nd was for.
Gotcha.
You see what I'm saying? I'm not giving Marvel that much goddamn love.
I hear you.
Know, I mean, no offense to him. No offense to him. I just, like, the way they do things comic-wise, the way DC does things comic-wise is really irritating and piss out of me. I ain't gonna lie.
Word.
You know, it's just, I just think it's bad business. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm just mad at the world, but we're going to have to do this Power Rangers episode eventually. I think I know what I'm going to do for April the 4th. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to interview Tad Stones like 2 months ago, but that keeps falling through. So yeah. I don't know. Well, I'll work out something. I'll get the team together and I'll contact everybody and say, when can you do this? And then you guys will say, I'm available here. And then you say, I'm available there. And I'll work it all out in one nice little moment.
Well, and if there's any other episodes you think I'd be good for, just let me know.
Oh, no problem, man. Like, send me, like, a list of topics and stuff you want to talk about that you feel that you would like to talk about. And then that helps me because sometimes I'll have stuff in my head. I'm trying to guess, like, who would be good for this? Mm-hmm. Who would be good for this? I'm like, I don't know if I should ask so-and-so. So send me a list of stuff you think is viable for you to talk about, and I'll bring you on and we can talk about.
Fantastic. Sweatpants it is.
No.
Count me out of that one, dog.
Oh, man. All right, guys, you have a absolutely fantastic night, and yeah, I'll keep you posted specifically, Sean, because I mean, so far I haven't gotten any other hits, but if I get any, I'll let you know immediately.